Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 4 to 10. Barak reads out the letter. He reads the letter, not for himself primarily, not to read it to himself or for himself, but at Jeremiah's instruction, he takes the letter that Jeremiah has written, and he takes it to the temple according to Jeremiah's instructions, and he reads it out to the people. Verses 4 to 10. So Jeremiah called Barak, son of Neriah. And while Jeremiah dictated all the words the Lord had spoken to him, Barak wrote them on the scroll. Then Jeremiah told Barak, "I am restricted. I am restricted. I cannot go to the Lord's temple. So you go to the Lord's temple. So you go to the house of the Lord and go there on a day of fasting and read out these words to all the people of Judah who come in from their towns," and so on. Now, this is no justification for sermon notes. It reminds me of the attempted justification for preachers to preach with empty heads based on Luke 12:11-12. And Jesus said, "Take no thought," and so on, what you're going to say. "The Spirit will give you the words." Well, that's persecution. That's not preaching. And here, this is scripture being written down at the dictate of God, at the command of the Lord. Verse 2, "Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you, and all the other nations, for Judah and so on, and Israel, and all the nations," and so on. This is God's word to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah has written down these words. This is scripture now. And Barak is reading scripture to the people. This is not a justification for taking whacking great notes into the pulpit and reading them out. Nor is Luke 12 a justification for going in with an empty head into the pulpit. This is a direct word from God to the people. It's a public fasting day. It's a big assembly, I would say, verse 6. And God expresses his desire, which is a repeat of, Jeremiah repeats God's desire. He expresses his desire, which is the same as God's desire, in verses 3 and 7. God had said, "Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about everything I plan, every disaster I plan to inflict on them, they'll repent and turn and reform. Perhaps they'll come back to me, and I will then forgive their sins." And Jeremiah says the same in verse 7, more or less. "Perhaps they will bring their petition before the Lord, and each will turn from his wicked ways. For the anger and wrath pronounced against this people by the Lord are great." And Barak is obedient, verse 8. Barak, son of Neriah, did everything Jeremiah the prophet told him to do. He, at the Lord's temple, he read all the words of this scroll, And he read it publicly. He got to this room of Gemariah, the upper courtyard. He spoke. He read it to all the people at the Lord's temple. And he read the words of the Lord from the scroll. He passed it on without adulteration. Now, this is the authority for preaching. Preach publicly, declare it the word of the Lord, and do it in every part, pulling no punches. What is God saying to Judah this time? Well, you can silence Jeremiah, inverted commas. You can restrict him, but you can't silence my word, and you can't restrict my word. You think you're getting rid of this prophet. You think you're putting a sock in his mouth. You think you're stopping him. Well, it won't work. My word is so powerful, so quick, so living, so terrific and terrible in power, so awesome. And I use that word. I know the Americans like to use it for almost everything. Even a donut is awesome or something. No, this is an awesome word from God. And you cannot silence the word of God. And the scriptures were written, and now they're being read and proclaimed, and God is still speaking his word hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years after they were said. In my small way, I preach today, trying to proclaim the word of the Lord. Not that I'm speaking the word of the Lord, I'm trying to speak on the word of the Lord. But I want to be faithful to all the word, and do so as publicly and powerfully and clearly as I can. And when I write and when I publish and publish audios and sermons and books and stuff, what am I hoping for? That it will live. God has said his word cannot die. It cannot fail away and pass away. It cannot return empty to him. It must accomplish the purpose to which he sent it. The word of man will die, but the word of God will live forever. We see God blessing here. Now, we can only sow the seed. We can only water it with our prayers. We can only hope, and perhaps and maybes God will bless and use it. But only God can give the increase, 1 Corinthians 3. That's the spirit Jeremiah goes in. That's the spirit Barak goes in. That's the spirit I'm trying to go in. That's the spirit we must go in, brother and sister. Isaac Watts put it this way. 'Twas by an order from the Lord, the ancient prophets spoke his word. His spirit did their tongues inspire and warm their hearts with heavenly fire. The works and wonders which they wrought confirmed the messages they brought. The prophet's pen succeeds his breath to save the holy words from death. Great God, mine eyes with pleasure look on the dear volume of thy book. There my Redeemer's face I see and read his name who died for me. His kindest thoughts are here expressed, able to make us wise and blessed. The doctrines are divinely true, fit for reproof and comfort too. Let the false raptures of the mind be lost and vanish in the wind. Here I can fix my hope secure. This is thy word, and must endure. Yes, you see, the false prophets, well, they were big and popular in their day, but they're gone, and their words have been lost in the wind. Jeremiah confined and silenced. Nobody, rejected, some prophets put to death, despised, and yet their words live. They're the words of the living God, and they themselves are living. May God arise and bless his word. And even in this generation, may God be raising up such preachers and proclaimers of his word that they will have the success that is so desperately needed. May God give the increase to his word today. May he bless it wherever it goes, for Christ's sake. Amen.